right. Those melodious tones you hear means it's once again time for On Second Thought with Mike and Matt. I'm Mike. He's Matt.
I'm Matt.
What's going on? What's going on, good sir? Good to talk to you again.
Again, great to talk to you again. So, very well. Freaking winter again here in Cincinnati, Mike. We've experiencing all the seasons this past week here. It's gone from very nice spring to thunderstorm alley to snow and hail and ice and cold and wind, all in a span of the last 4 days. It's something.
It's a hell of a thing.
It is a hell of a thing, man.
We had a little bit of that over the last, I'd say, 36 hours. I mean, if I'm low energy right now, I'm counting on you, Matt, to bring up the energy because I'm running on a little bit of low energy.
Ooh.
It was a lot of wind and rain, and then it turned to snow overnight. Okay. And they had a school-wide delay of 2 hours today. And they call you about 5:30 in the morning. They're very proficient. They call you, they text you, and they email you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So that all went down about 5:30. Got up to take a piss, went to try to go back to sleep. About 6:15, 6:30, the power goes out.
Oh.
And the generator for my house is below my bedroom window.
Oh.
And once the generator kicks on, you know, it's very loud, and it brings the power back to the whole house. All my Hue lights in my bedroom come on full blast. I feel like I'm on the sun, right?
Yes. I know that feeling. I know in the middle of the night when the power goes out, because all of a sudden, it's like, oh,
yeah.
All the lights turn on to the brightest setting that they can.
Yes. And so, all right, got all that situated, was ready to go back to bed. The phone calls and the texts start up. And the message was that when the power went out, a transmitter at the high school blew, and that they were closing the high school down for the day. So my middle son didn't go to school. My youngest had a 2-hour delay. But the funny thing, as soon as I got the text message and phone call that they were canceling school due to this, you know, transmitter blowing, my power came back on and the generator shut off. And I'm like, really? Am I going to walk over there now? Because the high school is only like, you know, less than a 5-minute walk from my house. It's like, I'm going to go over there and see if they really got power or not. They're pulling a fast one on me.
Sure. Yeah.
But so we got about three to four inches of snow with a nice crusty layer of ice on top of it and very, very soggy underneath.
Yeah.
So it was backbreaking shoveling. You know, I could have let it just sit there because it's supposed to warm up a little bit, but I was like, I have a guest coming over tomorrow morning, so I was just like, you know what, just gonna go out there and clean it up.
My ADHD gets me when I see the snow out there. You know, I gotta clean that shit off. I gotta get it off my sidewalk. I gotta get it off my drive.
Well,
it's gotta be gone.
I'm in quite the pickle over here, Matt, because you know, I have a big ceremony at the end of every winter, early spring, the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
A lot of people come out to see me swap out the position of the zero turn and the snowblower.
Right? Yeah.
We had a big crowd this year.
Who's the grand marshal? Normally you have a grand marshal for this. Well, did you have a grand marshal to come in and take care of festivities?
Well, this year we skipped on that. We made everybody a grand marshal.
So, oh, that's
inclusive. You know, it's very inclusive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I charge a little entrance fee to come watch this. You know, I put on some, you know, pomp and circumstance. And now, today, I had to swap positions. I had to back the zero turn out into the snow. I had to pull the snowblower out. And now everything's back. So people that were here, they saw this big ceremony. Mm-hmm. You know, now they want a refund. So I'm in quite a quandary. Yeah,
quite a quandary you have there, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah.
And who's dropping dimes on me? That's what I want to know. Who's out there watching me make this, you know, changing of the guard and dropping a dime that Mike's actually using a snowblower post April 1st?
Well, you know, you figure the people want the content, Mike, that you have. The problem is, Mike, you started years ago with this video of you selling this snowblower, okay? And the tremendous action that you showed in this video selling a snowblower, that's what the people are there for. That's where you got the people hooked, Mike. And that's why they're there.
There was good wrist action on that when I was making the shoot turns and left and right.
It was just so smooth. Just look, it went one way and turn around went the other way. No hitches, no nothing. It just, I mean, like clockwork, dude.
It was well oiled.
Very. Oh my gosh, couldn't get any smoother than that.
But I might get away with having, you know, to issue refunds because I've talked about this before on other shows. My driveway is very long and it's in various states of disrepair. And we've decided to get it all torn up and install a new driveway from not the whole thing, but my part of my whole driveway. And the snowplow guy came out today because Lynn said it was, you know, tough getting up the hill and some of the turns. He did a fucking number on the driveway that's in really bad shape. So I got to go out there this weekend and throw all this tar, you know, that he kicked up with his blade because it's so worn down. The ruts from the tires are very low, and the main part of the driveway is sitting high, and his blade comes over and just rips off layer after layer after layer. So if I was on the fence about getting a new driveway, the destruction he did today has pushed me over the top. The driveway has to get done.
Does your snowplow guy, does he know a guy that does driveways? Is there collusion here where?
No.
Okay.
No. But I am debating now that when I get this new driveway installed, if I'm going to use my whole snowblower to blow the hole, like from my garage up this like little hill and then come back down. It'd probably take me about an hour or so, I think, to do it all. But I don't want to have, like, I told the guy who's installing it, I was like, the snowplow guys are assassins. You have to make the transition smooth. If it's not smooth, they're going to slowly start chipping away at it every season.
And I'm
going to be back where I'm at again. So I need to see what the finished product looks like, and then I'm going to make a determination if I'm just going to plow the whole thing.
Well, I think the logical answer here, Mike, is you get yourself a little side-by-side or something with a snowplow, and you just do it yourself.
Yeah, I want to get myself one of those Pope Mobiles, a Kubota.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you just get you one of them.
Yeah.
Put a plow on it. You do it yourself. And get rid of the middleman.
Yeah. Put a plow on it.
Put a plow, yeah. Just plow it. Plow it like you. Never mind.
Yeah, hell no. All right, so we got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to try to keep this show at an hour. When we started the podcast, Matt, we weren't said, you know, it's not every show is going to be gaming stuff. I think today is going to be a heavy gaming episode. We do have a couple user questions here at the end that we'll get to as well, so that will be good. Before I forget and lose train of thought, next episode, Matt and myself will probably cover less gaming stuff, but we want to dive into some more personal stuff. So, you know, Matt and I are very well organized. We got this show planner of topics of things we want to go over. And one of the things that we both thought would be a great topic is, you know, Matt's at 50, I'm approaching 50. You know, how are we taking care of ourselves? Sort of second half of our life. So I think the next episode is going to be, you know, what are we doing to take care of the mental and physical, you know, end of life care, you know, what are things are you sort of worried about? And, you know, maybe we'll have a guest on. I'm not sure. But we'll go. We'll take it as it comes. But that is the tease for next week's episode.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Gonna be going lots to discuss. Matt has had his physical this week. We won't give away any spoilers. I don't know any details about it, so we'll cover all that in the next episode. If anybody has any questions or thoughts or things that they are doing that they want to contribute, you know, feel free. And you don't have to be, you know, middle-aged fellas like us. You could be on the younger or the older side, but you know, anything that you're doing that you feel is beneficial to take care of the physical and mental, we'd be curious to hear what you're doing. Sound good? Sounds like a beautiful plan. All right, yeah. So let's get into it here. A couple topics that we want to discuss. First and foremost, Dragon's Dogma 2, Matt. I don't think either one of us are playing this game. However, no. I want to bring it up because, first of all, a lot of people have been talking about it. I've seen a lot of gameplay of it. I read this quote on Twitter yesterday. This is from Andy Cortez at Kind of Funny. He says, Baldur's Gate 3 was my number 4 top 10 game of 2023. Loved it. What an achievement. If it had Dragon's Dogma 2's combat, it'd probably be my favorite game of all time. So, the reason I bring that up is I hear from a lot of people that maybe there's not much story or the story's kind of an afterthought in Dragon Dogma 2, but the combat, the things that you can discover as you play the game is a differentiator. Have you seen much or read much into this or looked at it? Or like, where's your interest with this title? Are you familiar with the first one at all?
I'm not that familiar with it. I'm familiar with the second one just because you brought it up a couple weeks ago. And so, you know, just been kind of looking at it. I mean, it seems like an interesting game. I don't know the lore and everything behind it. So I couldn't really comment on what people are saying. I don't know. It just... So I'd like to see, yeah. What I gotta see some video of it and stuff and see what I think there.
Okay. So as I'm watching it, I'm getting like, you know, obviously like, you know, there's a lot of hack and slash combat. So, you know, think of things like Witcher. Mm-hmm. I also get some like, you know, you got a party of 4 with you, or like you can be a total of 4 characters. So you and 3 pawns. We'll get into the pawns in a minute. So that gives me like some Dragon Age vibes. And then I think, you know, some of the other stuff, like the climbing, I'm getting like a little bit of Assassin's Creed. So, you know, I'll let our listeners, you know, see if I'm off the mark, but I'm getting a combination of those 3 games together. The interesting thing, it is an open world game, okay? But it de-emphasizes fast travel. There's some limited options. I think there's some... I'm not sure if I'm calling these right, but you can buy something that will give you spawn points, but there is no fast travel like we're used to in like Division 2, say, right?
So it encourages you to go out and explore the world and travel and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so as I'm listening to people talk about it, they say, when you get to the destination, that so much isn't the meat and potatoes of the game. It's the travel between point A and B that make this game so interesting. The crazy stuff that you'll encounter, the boss fights, the people, those experiences are what make the game. Now, as I watch it and I think of how our level of gameplay and the hand-holding that we need sometimes, I'm not sure if this is like a game that you and I would enjoy, but I think there are some things that I think you would enjoy. Like it's set in a fantasy theme world.
Yeah.
Supposedly some dragon comes along and does something to you. I think I saw a trailer where it takes your heart out and then you become something called the Arisen. And then you're caught in some sort of geopolitical conflict. And along the way you can have some allies, which are called pawns. You're playing in a third-person perspective. There's 10 vocations that you can pick from. I don't have them all in front of me. So you could be like a fighter, a mage, thief, archer, warrior. And then there's some hybrid vocations that you can have as well. I don't know. We talked in the last episode about sometimes buying games because I like the look and feel of them, but I know I'm not going to be that great at them. I'm getting the same feeling for this one. I'm holding off just a little bit for a few more patches because I hear it's rough like everywhere. I think obviously PC it's playing the best right now. I think the console experience is locked at 30 frames per second, so I'm not sure if I'd be buying it on the console. But I think eventually I'm going to pick this up on PC just to give it a try. It feels like I don't know the best way. Just I don't want to compare it to Elden Ring because it's not a Souls-like game. But I think if I could conquer a game like this where there's not as much hand-holding as some of the other open-world games, then maybe I could dip my toes into Elden Ring, sort of like work my way up the difficulty ladder. Because I think Elden Ring is another one of those games that looks absolutely spectacular. But if I try to play that right now, fuck.
Yeah. Elden Ring, I'm a little more familiar with, and I've seen people play that, and the game looks absolutely awesome, but it looks frustrating as hell too. So it's like, I'm not sure I want to do that. Now I'm looking here, you know, this Dragon Dogma, and like you said, it hits some points that I like. You know, it's got that medieval type, you know, feel to it. It looks like there's some magic and sorcery and that type of fancy stuff, and open world, which I do enjoy that type of stuff.
Yeah, and you could just go off and explore and just, I'm curious how the saves work, because I hear some bad stuff about that. Like, you just can't say, all right, I'm going to go off an hour in this direction and then save my game. Like, you have to get to some sort of town or something. You have to get somewhere.
That's a save? Yeah. Like a checkpoint?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if you fuck up, you can lose like 3 to 4 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, see, that's what sucks. That's what sucks. You put all this time in, and then you just kind of get complacent or whatever while you're playing. And then all of a sudden, you know, like you said, you're going around, you're traveling, and some wild world event happens or something, and blammo, you're done. And everything you just did that last couple hours is gone. And that's where the frustration with me comes in. I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want to do this again. Yeah. You know?
The pawns are real interesting to me, okay? So they're AI controlled, but they function like player controlled avatars. They assist you in fights, they'll provide you information on enemies, give you guidance on active quests. You can hire it 3 at a time, and you can also recruit 2 additional pawns that have been created by other players. So if me and you, I guess, are friends, theoretically, I could bring in your pawns and vice versa. But you can only have a party of 4, so you and 3 pawns. So you could have some of your own pawns and the ones that you've created. And they have their own inclinations. They're, you know, straightforward, calm, kind, and based upon their inclinations, you know, they'll do various things. So if they're straightforward, they'll charge right into battle. If they're calm, they'll stay on the defensive. If they're kind, they'll help their comrades. So there's some strategy in there too. You know.
Now, can you control what they do in battle on that, or is it just when you go into battle, they just do their thing? You know what I mean? Like, do you have to control every move that they make, or are they fully controlled by AI?
Fully controlled by, I think you could probably give them some guidance, like, hey, go there, but I don't believe that you control their, you know, hack and slash and things like that. They're on their own. This is not a turn-based game like Baldur's Gate. This is a fully action, third-person perspective action game like The Witcher.
It looks smooth. It looks good.
So
I know, some of the open world characteristics that you're talking about, like traveling. Red Dead Redemption 2 is big on that, where it wants you to travel more than fast travel because of events along the way that you might come across. You might come across some guy asking for help that's actually going to rob you, or some side quest or something. So that's always a good thing, you know, to kind of incentivize you to travel by traditional means and fast travel.
I wish a game like this would be co-op, though. We could get into a lot of fun with something. I think Elden Ring has some co-op, but I'm not sure if it's traditional. It's some other type of co-op, I believe. But someone's got to make a game that not a Souls-like, but something challenging like this that two schmoes could get in and just, you know.
Some epic battles here in the video here I'm watching on Steam. Like yeah. some big old eagles and lions and stuff. Man.
I think on Metacritic, it's got an average score right now of 86, with the highest being on PC at an 89. So it's reviewing well.
$70.
Yeah, it is a full price. It is a $70 game on Steam, which you don't see quite often.
No.
Usually on PC, you get the $10 discount.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is a fully priced game for sure, but I just wanted to bring that up. I know we're not playing it, but a lot of other people are, and it's a hot topic right now. So we need to be topical every now and then, Matt. We need to give the kids what they want. So,
them Gen Zers or whatever, is that who them people are?
We're going to get into Gen Zers here in just a minute. Don't you worry. Oh. another thing, this is going to be a fast-paced moving show here with a lot of different topics. Because I got the new PC going here, one game that I want to jump back into is Fallout 76.
Yeah. But
games like Fallout 76, No Man's Sky, Warframe, I think you will a lot of times say Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much content, and they're continuously being updated. Maybe not Destiny 2, but these other ones. They intimidate me. I'm wondering, like, where is the jumping in point on these? Like, I know with Fallout 76, it's more story-based and there's base building, so maybe I just pick it up from the beginning of the story. But
yeah,
how do I know to get to the new content, like the Atlantic City stuff that came out? Am I ever going to get to that? Do I know how to see that? You know, one thing that comes to mind is that game, The Outer Worlds. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they had some new DLC that they put out. But no one could ever, like, heard from a lot of people, like, how do you access the DLC? It wasn't, like, blatantly, like, obvious. And that's what I feel like with Fallout and some of these other ones. Like, all right, where do I start? Do I just start at the beginning? Do I completely start over and just learn how to play the game again? And then just sort of organically consume the content? I'm befuddled, man.
I think in a case like Fallout 76, it's a little more forgiving in that sense to jump in and start playing, because it's not, Fallout 76 isn't a competitive game where you're going up against other people in PvP and stuff like that, you know, so you can just jump in.
Are you sure about that? And there's something, people can raid your camps and there's like nukes that can go off.
Yeah, but it's not like Destiny, like the Crucible part of Destiny, where if you jump in now, there's people that's got the super duper gear and weapons and that. But I mean, yeah, Fallout 76, yeah, there's that type of stuff where they can raid your camp and some news. But I'm not sure how often that actually happens. From what I've seen streamers playing it,
mm-hmm.
It seems like 80% of it's PvE versus PvP is what I've seen. Okay. But like, you go into like a Destiny 2, you want to jump in like now. I feel like you're going to be more far behind than ever. Like, I've been out of it for now for quite a while, and I think jumping back into that would be just a daunting task to try and catch up, get your light level got back up, and gear, and just man, I don't know. But I mean, Division 2, same thing with that. You know, we're playing that. That's like kind of like an ongoing live game that we've jumped back into and we've went into fairly well. And even though we're not at these high gear scores like everybody else, we're still able to play the game and enjoy it and kind of do things at our own pace type of stuff.
Yeah, and the good thing about Division 2, it's like there's no saving there. That's all just done by the game.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Getting back to like that Dragon's Dogma 2, where like you had to get to a checkpoint, at least with Division 2, like we could, that is the perfect game for us because we might only have 30 minutes or we might have 3 hours. And no matter what, you put something in, it's just going to be there the next time you boot the game up.
Yeah, you're not going to lose anything. Yeah, we can go through, we can do a mission and say, all right, well, we're done and travel back to the White House or a settlement or something like that. And, all right, wake up the next day, play, and boom, it's right where we left off and
we had
didn't
some,
lose anything.
We had some good fun with Fallout 76. I know you had some rough patches there with your bag and stuff, but it was comical looking back at it. But as we've mentioned numerous times prior, you join my game, you'll get the XP, but you won't get any of the credit of the missions. And that's a really that's a really archaic way of doing business these days. If you're trying to get other people to help you out. I'm sure
compared to Division 2, to where when we play together, it's completed, it's done. Like when I go back to my world, it's still done.
Just like Destiny, just like Borderlands.
Yep.
I don't know why Fallout 76 does it this way.
Yeah.
Stuck in the past, I'm not sure, but
we did have some fun times playing that one.
Because I mean, I just see on Twitter so often, like No Man's Sky just got a huge update again, and that game looks beautiful. But I'll tell you what, we talked about in one of the other episodes how I need a handler at times. Boy, I would need a fucking couple handlers for that game. Good lord, that thing has a lot of
that game's deep.
A lot of meat on the bones, as they say.
The game's deep. There's a lot of stuff going on in that game. Yeah. Different worlds and all this stuff. Oh, man.
I didn't pay attention to it too much, but I saw some Destiny news, 2 news the other day. Did you catch that at all?
No. I saw something in the passing on Twitter or something, I think, but I didn't really stop and look at it.
I know they're going to bring some sort of horde mode coming out.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, with the new computer, I did download Fallout 76 begrudgingly on the Xbox PC Game Pass store. And it's there, so I'm going to try it out and see what happens.
Well, I'm going to have to do the same here. I think there's a picture floating around somewhere of you and I in Abraham Lincoln suits with top hat posed together with the thumbs up sign in front of us, I think.
Yeah, and I think we had the priest outfit on with the Abe Lincoln
priest
hats.
Outfit.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what it was. Yeah, that's the last thing we need is a priest outfit on us.
What was that guy that used to be on Saturday Night Live? Way back. Way back, like the 70s, 80s.
The Spanish guy, the Latino guy or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I know you're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
Moving on. Earlier this week, there was a leaked image of a white digital Xbox Series X, Matt. And you're going to be shocked. Are you sitting down?
I am. I'm sitting down.
It was white.
It was so white.
It was so white.
It was white.
It was a very white Xbox. Now, we don't have much information about this. It could be a limited edition. It could be nothing. It could just be an internal thing. It was definitely a real Xbox. But we don't know if it's going to be something that's going to be sold or not. Let's just, for the sake of this discussion, assume that it is going to be something that's going to be sold to the consumers and that it's not a limited edition model, that it is, in fact, a digital Xbox Series X, not S, X, and it's white. And if you've been reading the news lately, they say the Series X is not selling well, especially in Europe. It's doing really bad to the point that, you can't even really get some games. You go into the retail stores and the games just aren't available. Microsoft's not, doing much in the physical space, I guess. So I'm like wondering, what is the need here? You have the black Xbox Series X. You have the white Xbox Series S. It feels to me like something is missing. Like I don't have a piece of the puzzle. Are they really going to try to do away with physical games? And then now's the time to buy the OG Xbox Series X because they're just not going to sell them with the drive anymore. So you have to sort of take advantage of that now. And the white one without the optical is the future for the X. And maybe they'll release a black one as well later. And if they're in,
well,
go ahead.
No, well, I mean, if they're going to not do the digital, then
physical.
I mean, you look at this thing, you can cut it in half, all right? Shrink it down, and you'd have half the size of your Series X, but it'd be, you know, pure white, so it'd be like a white cube.
I don't know enough about the innards of the X, if the height of it is because of the optical drive or is the height because of the airflow. I think there's fans in the bottom and there's fans at the top.
Yeah, there is, yeah. But I think that height, because if you look at that slit for where the DVD goes in, is half the damn height of it. So you take that away and you can shrink it down some. It won't be as tall.
In those court filings that they had earlier in the year with the FTC, there was an image of a more cylinder-shaped one.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that got scrapped and they just have existing parts already for the X, you know, and so it is cheaper for them to use existing stuff and just make this white. You know, we need to hear what the price point is on something like this. I'm not sure how limiting physical games at this point pushes Microsoft forward. You think, you know, you already have physical games out there. You know, how much cheaper could this be? You know, they sell these consoles at a loss anyways for like the first couple of years.
Right, right.
They sell the games to subsidize the loss.
You know, what I would like to know, it might be out there somewhere. I don't know if this is known stats or not, or if they're hidden, but how many people are buying physical games still?
Oh, I'm sure.
I know you're not. You're not, right? You're not.
No.
I'm not.
I stopped about a year ago. They were just, you know, I'll tell you one thing. It was cheaper, though. I was buying more console games, physical. Because when you go digital, Matt, unless you're waiting for a sale, which oh, by the by, you know, sometimes can kill the industry. If everybody's just always waiting for a sale, put that aside. You pay a console tax. We see that now that we have higher end PCs, and you can see what game costs on the console. It's always $10 more on the PS5 or the Xbox than it is on Steam. But when you were buying physical, whether it was on Amazon or Best Buy or Target, there was always sales. Even fucking QVC, you could get some real deep cuts on QVC.
Oh, yeah. There were definitely lots of good sales on the physical media. You go into a Walmart and there's a game there that's marked down at $29.99.
Yeah, that's still probably still selling for $59.99 on PlayStation or Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happens is you just have a whole room all of a sudden of fucking games, and that's not a place I want to be in. Now, the risk that we run, let's say a lot of people are saying doom and gloom about the Xbox, and they might pivot off of Xbox and just make a Windows console. And people are worried about their library. Now, for you, it wasn't a big deal. You said, you know what? I'm not concerned about my PlayStation library. I'm hopping over to Xbox. But for a lot of other people who are invested into an ecosystem, that's the chance you take with going all digital, is at some point they can pull the rug out from underneath you. You're not guaranteed to have your games even though you bought them. Now, physical, you can install them to a certain degree. If there's online components, certainly they won't work to a larger extent. That's the risk you run. That's the chance we're taking here.
You know, there's that old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's so different from the whole Apple, Android, Windows ecosphere where, you know, everyone puts all their stuff up in the Apple iCloud or the Android, you know, or even Windows Cloud. And then
I spread my nudes everywhere, Matt. They're everywhere.
I thank God you do, man, because you make it so easy to see. It's so accessible.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just, that's, you know, you get stuck in one ecosystem like Apple or like Android, and you're pretty much there for life. I couldn't imagine transitioning to Apple. I'm so into the whole Google Android ecosystem that it's you know, I'm tied into just like Amazon and Alexa. I'm so tied into that it's where a lot of my stuff lives. My home automation stuff, that's all, you know, Alexa and Philips Hue. You know, I don't have Google or Nest or anything like that, but it's all tied into Amazon.
Yeah. It is. It is a chore to move off. Currently at work, we are moving off of Google and doing everything Microsoft. So this week I've been going into my Google Drive at work and downloading all the documents and reports I need. But I have a lot of reports in Google Sheets that interface with Jira. So they pull the data from Jira, which is our bug system, ticketing system, and it creates reports for me. I got to recreate all those reports in Excel now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's going to be it. That's some of that, hopefully you can copy and paste some of that stuff.
Well, I got to copy and paste the JQL language, the query language. So
I want to. So, like, if you download like the Google, I can't remember what it's called, but their Excel, and you download to your computer, can you open that with Excel?
Yes, but the data will just be static. I rely on Jira, the connection between Google and Jira, to refresh the data for me and update the ticket history.
Gotcha.
So just if I download and open up in Excel, it's just a screen. It's just a static screenshot of, you know, of when I last ran the report.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. At work, we're all Microsoft at work. Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all that shit. OneNote.
Fucking Teams. All right. Digital Series X. It looks really funky on the front with no optical drive. It's just this like white, long white plastic front. I was hearing something.
I don't think it'd be that long. I think it'll be cut in half.
No, you think it'll be cut in half? We'll see. Someone was saying it'd be nice to put some green tones in there to hark back to the 360.
Well, they got that slight green at the top.
Right.
At least the one picture I saw had some slight green at the top. But
the power button, you know, you hit the power button. Instead of white, make it green.
Sure. Do a little like our PCs, you know, a little green glow and stuff to it. A
little flash.
That'd be slick.
All right, moving on here. Xbox handheld. Okay. Phil Spencer is on record of saying how he wants an Xbox, not so much an Xbox handheld, like, hey, I want Xbox to develop one, but he's saying that Microsoft needs to do a better job with the software on these handhelds. So he says, I want my Lenovo Legion Go to feel like an Xbox. I brought the Legion Go with me to GDC. I'm on the airplane. I have the list of everything that makes it not feel like an Xbox. Forget about the brand. More like, are all my games there? Do all my games show up my save files that I want? I tell you one game that doesn't right now, and it's driving me crazy, is Fallout 76. I want to be able to boot into the app in full screen, but in compact mode, and all of my social is there. Like, I want it to feel like the dash of my Xbox when I turn on the television, except I want it on those devices. Okay? So those types of comments from Phil have sparked a discussion about a proper Xbox handheld. And I know that you really like the Steam Deck because I think you would hate the ROG Ally. I think you would hate the Lenovo Go because it's clunky. You're dealing with Windows, and then you're dealing with their software on top of it. Mm-hmm. With the Steam Deck, it's like a console, right? You're just booting.
It is.
You're booting into that, and really, the Steam Deck has changed. It's a disruptor in the console space right now, and to me, I think it'd be very powerful to have either like a PlayStation handheld or an Xbox handheld that's just an extension of the console, like the Switch. Like you hook it up, you could hook it up to your television, yeah. Or you could undock it, and it just, it's the whole experience there. There's no fucking around with Windows. It's just your console. Boom, you turn it on, and it's the same. It looks exactly the same, as like Phil said, as your TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I know on my Steam Deck, I did a... I haven't used it in a while, but I did some tweaking with it where I had a Windows, not Windows, but Xbox Cloud Gaming, Xbox Streaming, on it. It took a while to set up that, but it worked great. You go in, and it's like playing your Xbox games or whatever, Windows games on the Steam Deck. I think if they want to do something like that, they should make an official app or something like an official Game Pass app. Or something for the Steam Deck, and then you could access your cloud gaming or whatever from that without having to do all the workaround stuff.
Well, that's how it is on the ROG Ally. There's an app,
yeah,
but you still have to deal with Windows. You still have to deal with Armory Crate, but there is an Xbox app that you could just be in and download all your games and play, but you still have to do all those other things to update your system. So I think they're going to do two things here. I think they're going to continue to iterate on that app and push it to MSI with the Claw and Lenovo and Asus, right? And then I think they're ultimately going to come out with their own. And so if you've already got one of these other handhelds, your app experience will be better. But if you want the premium experience, that you don't have to worry, hopefully you don't have to worry about Windows. It's just like a Steam Deck. It just, boom, you turn it on and it just works. That, you know, that could be a game changer for them that they need.
But there's no reason why they can't put the software that runs an Xbox console into a handheld.
Well, it can't be Windows, because I'm telling you, Windows is rough. It doesn't do well with touch. They need to get it just like the Steam Deck. They need to get their own OS on there and not have it be Windows. Now, they do some nice thing with Windows on the Surface. I had the first Surface, and that was rough. I think they've made some nice iterations since then, supposedly. But they need to get, like, they can't let people just go in and have to do this shit in Windows. It's just got to be their operating system, which I know is Windows underneath.
That's what I'm saying. The Xbox console, I mean, it's not Windows, right? It's their Xbox operating system.
I'm sure it's Windows underneath somewhere, because everything's its own app.
But you're not dealing with Windows.
Right.
You don't deal with any of that shit. That's what I'm saying. You put that on a handheld, it's the same thing. I mean, you're not dealing with Windows. You're not having those issues when you go on your play Xbox, right? So you take that, you put it on a handheld with a screen. There you go. Yeah. No one's saying it has to be touchscreen. I mean, you don't use touchscreen for your Xbox.
No. But
so
I think there's a lot of other stuff that has to go on with it, like, not to get too technical, but like licensing. And all of a sudden they just put it on there. Like, what agreements have they made? You know, they've made agreements with people that it's just going to be on console. Now a handheld's a different thing, so they got to kind of revisit that. I think the chip that it runs on, like the one that's in the Asus, is probably what they got to target, because it's going to be like a PC. Like, it has to have the guts inside of it are going to be, got to be similar to what's out there with the MSI, the Lenovo. We've seen these things kind of go sideways if they pick their own proprietary things. It's got to be similar to keep the cost down. Stuff that's being, you know, manufactured at a high rate. They go out and start doing this proprietary bullshit, and this thing's like $800.
I kind of disagree with you there, Mike. I think you take the Xbox, you shrink it down, you got an Xbox handheld.
Yeah, but the Xbox inside is AMD.
Huh?
Inside the Xbox and inside the PlayStation is all AMD stuff. So it's not like they're shrinking down their own stuff. And that's what's inside the Asus ROG Allies AMD. So they got to get that same like common chipset. Is what I'm getting at. They got to figure out the guts of it so that can be mass produced and manufactured at an acceptable cost.
Yeah, I mean, right, yeah, the guts of it inside and have it, but the software in that is going to be the software. You don't have to do anything special. You know, they can do the shit now with these handhelds and stuff and these chips and everything to where you can do all this in a smaller package. I think with no problem at all.
So you're familiar with smaller packages?
Barbie.
Oh. Well, it's going to be exciting. I think Phil is committed to it. I think
it'd be interesting to see how this works out. If they really follow through on something real.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the Steam Deck is a disruptor in the console space. People are evaluating, Matt. I don't want to get too deep into the economics, but they say there's 200 million people that play consoles, and that number is not fucking growing. And traditionally, the 200 million people playing consoles are the ones buying them. So think about the Helmer household. You went from PS4 to the Xbox, or your son went from the PS4 to the PS5, right? There's not a lot of new people out on the street getting into gaming and saying, I'm buying a console. Those people are getting into gaming where? Their phone, their handhelds, their tablets, right? And that's why, you know, if I said to Matt, this is going to be a bad analogy, but maybe I'm a bad podcaster. If I said to Matt, you can go out to your favorite steak restaurant, good food, a good steak, maybe a little intimacy.
Mm.
That's a hell of a night for Matt Helmer, right?
You got that right.
You'd be satisfied.
Oh, yes, sir.
You would think the gaming industry would be satisfied with the number of people that subscribe to Game Pass or the number of consoles, but no, they are... how would you say they have to continue growing their business because that's what the stockholders want, right?
Right. So they want a bigger return on their investment.
Sure. Right.
Absolutely.
So they can't be satisfied with a steak and a BJ. They need more than that.
More money.
And so they're looking at these other ways, like these handheld devices, the phone, bringing your own Xbox games over to PlayStation. PlayStation bringing their games to Steam. They have to find other ways to sell. They're forecasting that the gaming is in a rough place right now. If you think of how much it costs to make games, like Spider-Man costs a huge amount of money. I mean, how much could Starfield cost to make? 8 years in development, all those salaries that they had to pay, right? I mean, astronomical price tag for minimal sales. Like, you know, they say before you could forecast and budget this stuff. Okay, it would cost, you know, $800,000 to make a game. We knew we had to, you know, we could develop it in 2 years or 3 years, and we had to sell a couple million copies and we'd break even and make a little bit more, right? Now games cost $300 million to make. $300 million.
And with that being said, I think they're still making a lot that money back.
Some of it.
Look at you and I. We just bought The Division for the fifth time.
Right.
You know, we just went out this past week. Now, granted, it was on sale, but we just went out and bought the first Division again. And how many times, I've bought Red Dead Redemption, probably, well, Red Dead Redemption 2, probably four times. I got it for, the PS4. I had it for the Xbox One, the Series X. Now I've got it for the PC and my Steam Deck.
So there was a study that came out that said in 2023, 60% of the playtime went to games that were 6 years old or older. So that just feeds into what you exactly said of why companies are not as willing to risk buying, putting out new stuff, because what are people going back to play, Matt? Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft, Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, Rocket League, Rainbow Six Siege. Overwatch not in the top 10 on any platform. Oh. Apex Legends. You know, Grand Theft Auto 5. Those are the games that people are playing over and over again. So Spider-Man might have made its money back, because Spider-Man is Spider-Man. It's going to do what it's going to do. But you got these other franchises. For every Helldivers 2 that hits it big, or Power World, there's 100 other games that just fucking bomb out.
And
the industry is no longer willing to take it on the chin.
Well, I mean, it's like the movie industry, right? I guess the game industry could be like the movie industry, where people are playing these games over again because they were good. They're fun. And a lot of these games coming out, people aren't digging them. They're not fun. They're not enjoying them.
Or some people aren't willing to take a risk on something they never heard of before, but they know the fucking, they know the Fortnite name, they know the Grand Theft Auto name, and tried and true. And why take the risk when games are now $70? And, you know, there's some people out there that put a value on $70 game, and I'm only going to be able to play it for 25 hours. Now, me and you have done the math. I think that's pretty good value when you, when you all plus it out, but you know, there's some people out there saying, fuck, I paid $39.99 for Helldivers 2. Endless amount of content. They're going on their fourth war bond. I can play over and over again with my friends for hundreds of hours, but I'm going to spend $70 on something like for 25 hours?
Yeah.
You know, there's those people that you'll never be able to talk sense into, because they'll also be the same people that will go out and spend, you know, $100 on, you know, the finest steaks, bourbon, and piss it and shit it out within 2 hours, and they've spent well over $70.
And get to, exactly. So. I hear what you're saying. There's games are expensive. Making them, you know, trying that, and the content you get out of them, it's you know, you get that gem like Helldivers, and it's like, holy cow, what a great game, you know.
And I do want to apologize.
And you get some like Starfield. It's like, oof.
I do want to apologize. I should have apologized at the top of the show. I have not been doing my part for democracy. I feel heavy. I feel heavy with shame. The weight is palpable. I've just been stuck in Division 2. I will hopefully make amends towards the end of the week and get back to fighting for democracy.
We're fighting freedom in a different world right now.
We're spread thin.
Yeah, we are. We're only two people. We can only do so much to help the world.
Yep.
You know.
Last gaming topic I wanted to touch upon in Phil Spencer's interview he did at GDC, he was also hinting at maybe bringing other storefronts to Xbox, including the Epic Games Store and Itch.io. Part of it, hearing other people, is saying they're trying to get ahead of the whole EU thing with the closed ecosystem that Apple's going through right now. So this could be them preemptively trying to be in the good graces of the EU. But he's also talking about putting other storefronts. He did not go far as to say as Steam. But that'd be interesting how that would all work. Would it just be another app and it's separate? How would the games work? You know, these are games, you know, some of the newer games, like if you take Horizon Forbidden West, right, the port of that for PC would not run on an Xbox. Now, the PlayStation 5 version probably would. It would need some, you know, tweaking. But interesting to put other storefronts on a gaming console, and how do things just work with not a lot of muscle behind making sure that everything... I would think this would be more of an extension of like indie games and backwards compatible stuff rather than the latest and greatest PC release.
Yeah, because like what would you do? You would go to like a Ubisoft app and buy the game from them instead of going to the Microsoft store? I mean, is that how that would work? Or that just seems a little counterintuitive for Xbox.
Right. I was listening to the Xbox kind of funny cast, and they were, you know, Paris on there was saying, and I don't know how anybody would agree to this, but let's say Steam was on there, or Ubisoft, like you said, or Epic Games, and the game, let's say it's Assassin's Creed, right? Mirage. I bought it on Steam, and somehow Steam communicates to Xbox that, yeah, he bought this, this is his license, and you could play it in any one of the stores. Microsoft doesn't care because they're getting their cut, right? If you bought it on Steam via the Xbox, there has to be some money exchange between Steam and Xbox. Like, because that, like, the platform holder that's hosting the store has to get a cut. It really just, like, talking that out just seems to, like, muddy the waters. I get it from Xbox perspective. It's like, make Xbox the hub. You can do whatever you want on here. You can play our games. You can play other people's games. And they hope that they can get people to be Game Pass subscribers. Because, hey, I'm on the Xbox anyways playing my latest wacky indie game on itch.io. And I'm getting the free games on Epic Store. So I'll just get a Game Pass subscription and everything will just live on my Xbox. You know what I mean? But how it benefits some of the other people, you know, like what's the, I don't want to be rude, but does Steam really need fucking Xbox? It feels like that is a relationship where Xbox needs Steam. Steam doesn't need Xbox.
I agree with that. Yeah. It seems confusing and convoluted to be able to play games when you do that. I mean, the whole point of having Steam, having Xbox, whatever, is you go there, you go to the Microsoft store, you buy your game, and you play on the Xbox, and there it shall live. You know, Steam, you go to Steam and buy your computer games, and there they shall live. Now, yes, there's convenience in buying a game somewhere and being able to play it different places and all that stuff, but cross-progression or cross-save or, you know, Mike, you don't have an Xbox, so I can still play with you or something like that, but it's... You're muddying up the whole console PC gaming thing in a sense, because you know you bought your console to buy Xbox game, and I can see where people want to go do everything, but I don't know, just to me it seems convoluted, but I could see where some people would find it very much enjoyable and would like that option.
Yeah, I need to hear more details about it. It sounds, you know, on the surface, it sounds exciting. Like, yeah, I just have one place where everything is, and you can just sort of pivot in between them. But I have, like, little faith that they could pull this shit off successfully without, like you said, muddying the waters, make it convoluted, make it all of a sudden, like, your purchases don't work. No, you got to go out here on your PC to renew your license. I could see all that sort of bullshit drama coming into play, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, now that I say this, you know, about all that being, even with Steam now, you know, like I bought Red Dead Redemption 2 on Steam, I still had to download the goddamn Rockstar social game hub thing or whatever and log into it to play the game.
Yeah, well, we have...
And Ubisoft had to do the same thing for Division, you know?
Well, let's jump into Blue's question here. We'll sort of work that in. He says, PC game service launchers suck. This is Blue Man Rule, of course, from
Open Forum Radio.
Yes, I was having a senior moment there. Sorry. he says, PC game service launchers suck, so you can import games from other services into Steam to launch from there if you link the executable. That is true. Is Rockstar moving off of social? They get something now called Rockstar Plus, right? Sort of like Ubisoft Plus and PlayStation Plus. They're making a
big... I know they were talking about it. I don't know if they actually executed it yet or not.
Yeah, they just said they were announced like games like Bully are going to be on it. Yeah, it's just, you know, I think we talked about this offline, that it's just another way for them to try to have you buy the game directly from them, right? Yeah, you can use it on Steam, but they kind of like you to buy the game directly for them because then they don't have to pay a cut to Steam.
Sure, yeah.
And they're not going to do anything.
If I buy from Steam, I shouldn't have to download the Rockstar game launcher.
Well, they're not going to do anything to make your life easier. You know what I mean? They're saying, hey, we're going to take less of a cut to put it on Steam. And now we're going to spend development costs to strip out the launcher and just have the executable work on Steam, you know.
No one's thinking about me, Mike.
Well, story of my life. His last question was, what do you guys think of Steam's big picture mode for that console-like experience? I often don't, but I think it's cool. So my initial thoughts there, Blue, is I feel like there's a lot of things in Steam that are cool that A, I don't take advantage of, and B, I'm scared to use them, and C, I don't take advantage of them, scared to use them, so I don't use big picture mode that much. But every time I get into big picture mode, I think it's cool. And I hate it. Yeah. I get nervous. I'm like, what did I do to get into this, and how do I get out of it very quickly?
Yeah, yeah. I get the same way when I use a big picture mode. It's like, oh, what did I do? This seems very simple, and like I'm actually turning off features or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I don't use it very often.
It's really for guys like me that use a television. You know, I have a 48-inch television right now. Mm-hmm. I should be using Steam in big picture mode rather than the application. But maybe that'll be my homework to try to do something. I think Jeremy, Hoodie Ninja, I think he uses big picture mode because he's got the TV. He's actually got his, like a small form factor PC that he puts in his entertainment unit. And I think he might, I could totally be wrong, but I think he might be in big picture mode. Although I think he's got a mouse and keyboard near him. So maybe he's not in big picture mode. But that's kind of like the benefit, right, for people that use PCs on televisions.
Yeah.
And you can also go in big picture mode on the Steam Deck, which I don't know why I want to do that.
You can. Yeah, I've done it once, and I didn't like it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to pause on the gaming stuff here. We're just about at the hour mark, but we've got a few other things. March Madness. We talked about that last episode, Matt. Houston didn't do so well. A guy got hurt, and they lost to Duke. None of your other teams, the Dayton team, none of those teams panned out. Tell me, have you been watching more of the women's or the men's?
I've been watching more of the women's because the women's has been a little bit more exciting.
You know, and you know why? You know why?
Well, that Caitlin Clark, for one thing.
You can't go to the WNBA until you're 22. So most of these girls, when they go into college, have to play for at least 3 to 4 years.
Oh, wow.
In the men's, you can be in the NBA, I think, at 19. So they play 1 year. Mm-hmm. They have to play 1 year of college. And then they can be 19. And then they can go into the draft. The WNBA right now, you have to be 22 if you're a U.S. citizen in college. If you are a foreign player, you can go to the draft if you're 20. But if you're in college, you have to at least be 22 years old. So that's why the women's game has been better, because these people have been playing on these teams or in college basketball for 3 to 4 years. This is Caitlin Clark's, I think, fourth year, and that Reese girl from LSU, 5 years.
Yeah, so they're a little vested in these things here.
They said 12.5 million people watched that LSU. Iowa game, and that was more like, that rating was higher than a number of recent sporting events, with like the exception of like Ohio versus Michigan.
Yeah,
and I was like, who the fuck wants to watch that game? Fucking two two states that can take it up the rear. I'm sorry.
Come on. What the hell? Come on.
Getting a little punchy, man. I've been up for a long time.
Yeah. So, I've been paying attention. Got the Final Four going on this weekend.
Who'd you pick? Who'd you pick in the men's? Quickly.
Who I want to see is NC State, because they're the underdog, ranked 11th. Okay, you know, seeded 11th, not ranked 11th, but 11th seed. But I think who's going to win the whole thing is probably a UConn.
Yeah.
I think UConn's going all the way.
Now, UConn plays Purdue.
UConn plays Alabama.
Alabama and Purdue.
And NC State plays Purdue.
NC State Purdue is going to be a hell of a game with those two big guys going up against each other.
It should be. I mean, Purdue's number one seed, NC State's number 11, and then you got UConn, number one seed, and Alabama's a four seed.
Yeah. So. Okay. And on the women's, are you going to be tuning in? UConn versus Iowa.
They play tomorrow night. So it's Iowa versus UConn. And then NC State versus South Carolina. Ain't that something?
And South Carolina's undefeated, like 36-0.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for Caitlin Clark, I'd see Iowa go all the way. I mean, just for that alone. That'll get tons of ratings.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be tough for her. I don't think... One thing I noticed watching the women's games, after the first like one or two, you could say this about the men's game too because of the age, but after the first one or two guys on the team, it really drops off. I mean, you're really dealing on the men's side with future car salesmen, and on the women's side, you're dealing with, future, I don't want to stereotype people, but you're dealing, whatever employment they're going into. There's a big drop off after Caitlin Clark and the next good player in Iowa, the 3, 4, and 5 players.
I mean, you get the thing, Caitlin Clark, she's all right, so she goes to the WNBA. But the WNBA doesn't get the action like maybe she's what she needs for the WNBA to get the action like NBA. Like Michael Jordan, like what Michael Jordan did with the NBA.
WNBA goes in peaks and valleys. So certainly when Taurasi came out of UConn, there was a big spike in interest to see what she would do. I think when Brittany Griner came in, she had interest. Certainly when she came back from Russia, there was a lot. It goes through peaks and valleys. But yeah, for the most part, people are not tuning into the WNBA.
No.
Although I think we might go as a family to see them. They're going to play the Boston Garden for the first time next year. We might go see them there. They usually play at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
Caitlin Clark goes to WNBA. She's going to make a lot less than what she could and what happened in going to the NBA. If she was going to the NBA, if this was male going to the NBA, she would make millions and millions.
Oh yeah, it's going to be all based on her money's going to come from advertisement. She's already like
doing endorsements, all that. Yeah,
she's already with State Farm and Gatorade and some shoe company. Mm-hmm. Ice Cube offered her $5 million to go to the Big Three, play 10 games in the Big Three, $5 million.
Wow,
that's all men.
She could take it, Bon.
She's only 6 feet tall. She's not that tall woman, and she's not that big.
So, she's a hell of a scorer.
Big Three is like one step above prison basketball.
There you go. Oh man, she just punch him in the nuts and go to town.
I don't think that's how it works, Matt. But baseball's back. Tell me how you're doing.
How about them Reds? They won last night. They're off tonight.
I think a majority of the teams are off today.
Huh?
I think a majority of the teams are off today.
Thursday. Yeah, Thursday does seem to be an off day for a lot of teams. Reds are doing pretty good. Not too bad. De La Cruz is not doing too much of anything. India is doing pretty good. Hunter Green is our overrated pitcher, which I do not like. I do not like care for him. I do not like him. That the guy who started on the opening day, Montas, he's great. He's doing pretty good.
Overall, are you watching other games besides the Reds? Are you... Like the pitch clock, you don't hear about it anymore. It seemed like it took like 1 year, and it's just like everybody's used to it.
It's just happening. Yeah, it just happens now, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Tell me about your thoughts. You might not have heard yet. If you have, what are your thoughts? Oakland A's moving out of Oakland as of next year. They're going to go to Sacramento for 3 years, and then
they're going to be playing in a minor league baseball stadium that only holds 14,000 people.
Right, but they only average 3,000 people now.
Well, that's because, they're moving away. So who wants to go watch them if they're moving all out of your town?
Well, they're not spending any money. They got a very poor product.
They're doing that on purpose to go out and, they do have a very poor product. Yes.
Keep the cost down so they can afford the state. I don't think the guy's got the money personally. I think the league's going to eventually have to take this team away from him.
I can see that.
I think he's stalling. I think there's some shady shit going on that he doesn't have the money to build that stadium in Vegas.
It's going to be an expensive stadium. It's not going to be like till like 2028 or something like that.
Yeah, they're putting it where the Tropicana used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's I don't know. Yeah, they're going to be playing in a minor league field for the next, you know, few years or whatever. And
that field hosts, you know, the minor league team for the Giants. How do they get those schedules to align? I mean, that's either an algorithm and a computer that just punches it all up and figures it all out. But yeah. That's a hell of a thing. That field's going to get worn out.
I don't know. Yeah.
Red Sox are doing okay. They swept the A's. They just got out of Oakland. They swept them. They split with Seattle, so that makes them, 5-2. They're headed to the Angels for a few games now, and then they don't have their home opener until Tuesday. They haven't played at home yet. And, of course, the home opener will be 20 years since they won the World Series, so they'll be celebrating the 2004 team that won the World Series. Yeah. And then they'll also be celebrating the life of Tim Wakefield and his wife. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Tim Wakefield. He had brain cancer and died. And then 6 months later, his wife died of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, just a couple months ago. So they'll be having a big ceremonies for them. You have recently had your work trip to Hagerstown. You were posting some beer photos, Matt. Tell me, what is the latest with your beer journey? Hopefully Denny will listen to us and take interest here. What's going on with your beer intake these days? Are you still the Michelob Ultra, trying to keep it slim and trim, or anything else?
At most places, it's a Michelob Ultra, but if I go out of town or, you know, I still go to the breweries around here, it's whatever boots my boot at those places. You know, when we was in Hagerstown, went to a couple bars, and I had some local brews here that they made. It was good, you know, not too bad.
What was the beer that you would always have your go-to before Michelob Ultra?
Well, there was Bud Light.
No. But it was something local.
Oh, Mantry Psychopathy. The IPA Psychopathy is one of my favorites. I love Psychopathy.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was something else. That's vaguely ringing a bell, but I thought you had something else too. Maybe that was it.
It could have been Truth, Ryan Guy's Truth.
So you're still putting them down?
Mount Carmel. There's Mount Carmel that we used to go to all the time.
You used to go to that fire station, and they closed down.
Yeah, they closed down. That was a cool place, man. You can go in there now. The new owners, there's a brewery that's east of me. They bought that, and now like all the cool stuff you used to be able to do at that brewery out west, out further east, you can't do anymore. Like there's a pizza place across the street. You go there, get pizza, bring it in, and eat pizza and drink their beer, you know, sort of that. Can't do that no more. Can't bring in your own food no more. They really took away a lot of that stuff because they'll have like a food truck or something there now, and they don't want to take away from the food truck, which I can see that, but what made that place before great was families could go there and mess around, bring snacks, bring their own food for their kids and stuff, and drink beer. But, oh well.
All good things come to an end, Matt, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of like this show. Sort of like this episode. But before we go, we have a question from Bricko. I don't know the answer to this. I vaguely looked at this game, but he said, what about the news of a new Hellgate game coming out? Hellgate Redemption. Not sure if you ever played the original, which was Hellgate London. I actually enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to it. Matt, any sort of details that you can tell me about Hellgate Redemption?
It's got the word hell in it. Apparently you're redeeming stuff. Maybe redeeming coupons or something. I know nothing about this game. I know nothing about this game. This is the first time I heard about this game.
I think it is an MMORPG. If I had to speculate, the first one looks a little rough. I think it was like one of the early first like looter shooters, MMORPG. Okay. So, there's a new iteration of that coming out at some point. So Bricko, don't have much to give you on that. The first one came out Halloween 2007, led by a team of former Blizzard Entertainment employees, some who saw the creation of Diablo. So it's in that type of vein. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. Hellgate Redemption coming out. I'm not sure when it's coming out, but it has been announced. I think the studio is called Lunacy.
Good name.
All right, so let's wrap up episode 4 here. Next time we record, like I said, maybe there'll be a sprinkling of gaming news, but it's going to be more, you know, health, mental health related, what we're doing. You know, Matt's be 51 this year. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, coming up in October.
Yep, I'll be 49 in October. So crossing over, you know, once you go over 50, you know, it's, you're on the other side of the mountain, right? I'm still like Uncharted 4 here. I'm still trying to find my
foothold. You're gripping. Yeah. Yeah.
Strongest hands.
Don't fall down.
Nathan Drake, strongest hands in gaming.
You get that right.
But yeah, so we're going to talk about like what we're doing in this sort of second half of our life to keep the mental and physical sharp. Anybody wants to contribute to the show, what they're doing, or questions for us, you know, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, OSTWMM. If you're on our Discord, you already know where to go, but there's a channel for on Second Thought. Just reach out, get in touch with us, and share the show. Hopefully you're digging it so far.
Yeah.
Bi-weekly. This episode will be out on Sunday the 7th. And we'll have the show that we're hyping up out 14 days later on the 21st.
Yeah.
That's the
day before the big eclipse coming through town.
Oh, yeah. You driving to Indiana?
Fuck no. We're right on the edge of it.
Totality, is that what it's called?
Totality is like another half hour east.
Yeah,
and there's going to be so many damn people there. Hell no. I'll just look out my office window, see it get dark, and yay, go back to work.
Yeah, our buddy Brad on Twitter says he's driving from Kentucky to Indiana for it. He says he's done it before, and he highly recommends, he says, take the day off, have someone cover your shift. He says 99% doesn't cover it. You have to be there for totality.
Yeah, I gave him some shit.
Did you?
I was like, because it never gets dark ever, does it? Yeah, like, just like, you know, overnight stuff. Anyways, yeah.
Poor Brad. He seems like the nicest guy in the world.
He's a very nice guy. He's a good dude. He's a cool dude. If you and him ever get in town together, man, we have a decent time, I think.
All right. Let's end it here, Matt. Let's see if I can do something special here and play the live outro. Are we ready?
Oh. Wow.
You're not supposed to talk over it, Matt.
Oh.
Now you can say something if you like.
That went on forever.
Bye.